take out your Bibles, and we're going to be, of course, in John chapter 21. So when you take out your Bible, you can open to the book of John and just go all the way to the end of the Gospel of John. Now let me give you guys a little bit of a disclaimer, because I know if you picked up your bulletin and you also picked up sermon notes this morning, when you looked at the outline was probably somewhat intimidating. I know there are a lot more blanks on that outline than what there normally are, and I'm looking at it here in front of me, and it's a lot, it appears to be a lot longer than what it normally is, but let me assure you this is not going to be a long message. Actually, I'm planning to give you a few minutes back that I took from you last week, because I went a little longer than I planned last week. So this is actually going to be a fairly quick message, and we have a relatively short passage that we're looking at as we close out the Gospel of John. We're going to pick up in chapter 21 at verse 18, and we'll go through the end of the chapter. So we've got 8 verses left in the Gospel of John. Last week, of course, we focused on the interaction with Christ and Peter. And of course, we saw Christ after his resurrection, and he appeared to the disciples. They were fishing. There were several of them that were fishing, and they looked out on the shore, and there was Christ who had appeared to them. When they got to the shore, after they realized that it was Christ, they saw that he had built a charcoal fire. And so we focused on this interaction between Christ and Peter around this charcoal fire, and the symbolism and the metaphor that that represented, and how that was a picture of salvation and restoration through Christ. And as we pick up this morning in verse 18, we're still looking at Christ and the disciples and Peter gathered around this charcoal fire. We're looking at the very end of this interaction. So John chapter 21, beginning in verse 18, would you please stand out of respect for the reading of the Word of God? John chapter 21, beginning in verse 18, the Word of God says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. When you're old, you'll stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, 'Follow me.' Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, the one who had also leaned back against him during the supper, and said, 'Lord, who is it that's going to betray you?' When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, 'Lord, what about this man?' Jesus said to him, 'If it's my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me.' So the saying spread abroad among the brothers that the disciple was not to die, yet Jesus did not say to him that he was not to die, 'But if it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you?' This is the disciple who is bearing witness about these things, and who has written these things, and we know that his testimony is true. Now there are also many other things that Jesus did, were every one of them to be written, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written." Let's pray together. Father, we love you so much. And it is with gratitude in our hearts that we approach your word, thankful for the truth in it. Thank you. Thankful for the gospel in it that you've chosen to reveal to us, Father. Thankful for the salvation that is here on its pages for all who believe. Father, your word is a precious, precious gift. God, help us every day to conform ourselves, our lives to your word, to live according to your word. Father, strengthen us, equip us through your word. Reveal Christ to sinners through your word. Call people to repentance through your word. Father, change lives, change hearts through your word this morning. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. So as we get to verse 18, as I mentioned, we're looking at the same setting that we were last week. It's Christ. He's made this charcoal fire, and the disciples have come in, and they brought some fish, and so they've had breakfast, and then they're talking, and we've seen Christ reinstate or restore Peter and demonstrate to Peter that he still has salvation through faith in Christ. Now we pick up in verse 18. And after this beautiful moment where Peter's charcoal fire has been redeemed by Christ and turned into something beautiful and new, we get to verse 18, and everything changes very quickly. Because what we're seeing in verse 18 is a jarring statement. At least it would have been jarring to Peter. Watch what Christ says. "Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you're old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. Now on the surface to us, verse 18 by itself probably doesn't mean a whole lot. If you read verse 18 and don't read anything else, it's probably not going to make much sense to you. But luckily, as John is writing his gospel, he's writing this using hindsight. And so John knows what Christ is talking about as he's putting this together. And so we go into verse 19, he kind of explains verse 18 for us. He says, this he said, talking about Christ, to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. This is how we understand verse 18. We understand it through the lens of verse 19. What is it that Christ says to Peter? Right after Peter is reminded that Christ has saved him and restored him, right after Peter has been reminded that his sins have been redeemed by Christ and by his blood shed for him and through his resurrection from the grave on the third day, right after this, what is it that Christ says to Peter? Essentially what he's saying to Peter is your faith in me is going to cost you everything. He's telling Peter, if you believe in me, and you live for me, and you follow me, it's going to cost you everything that you have. We know as we're reading this, we're looking backwards throughout church history, all the way back to this moment and to the life of Peter. We know exactly how Peter died. Peter was crucified. Peter did not feel worthy of being killed in the same way that Christ was killed, so Peter requested to be crucified upside down. This is what verse 18 is alluding to. So Peter's had this beautiful moment with Christ where Christ has demonstrated that through faith in him, Peter's sins have been redeemed. But now we get to verse 18. And the implications of Peter's faith become a little bit more practical. As Christ tells Peter, this is going to cost you everything. Peter, they're going to crucify you. They're going to execute you. You're going to die a horrible, painful death. You're going to suffer more than you could even imagine. Peter, this is going to cost you more than what you can even fathom right now. He follows up this statement with a very simple instruction. Look at the very end of verse 19. And after saying this, he said to them, follow me. Friends, we have studied the Gospel of John for 11 months. And this is the call that the Gospel of John has been working us toward for the past 11 months. It's this simple call, this simple instruction from Christ that we see at the end of verse 19. It is the call to follow Christ. That's what we're dealing with this morning. And so the question that I want to set before you as we continue to go through this passage is, are you following Christ? Are you following Christ? Verse 20, Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, the one who had also leaned back against them during the supper, and said, Lord, who is it that's going to betray you? When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, what about this man? And Jesus said to him, if it's my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me. And so Peter, understandably, he's shocked, he's jarred a little bit. He's probably just had his world turned upside down. Christ has just looked him in the eyes and said, if you follow me, you will lose everything.
You gotta watch it.
And yet still, Christ tells him, follow me. Can you imagine what Peter must be thinking? And so immediately after this, he's walking with Christ. It says that the disciple whom Jesus loved, who's most likely John, is walking behind him. Peter sees him. And so Peter's trying to direct some of the attention onto John. He's trying to reflect off of himself and turn the attention to John. He says, well, what about this guy? Don't you have something for him? Why are you telling me all of this? What about John? Is he going to get the same kind of thing that I? And Peter starts, he starts comparing himself to other people. He starts looking at the life of John and thinking, well, maybe this isn't fair. Why do I have to lose everything for you? What about him? What about these other guys? Are they going to get the same thing that I'm getting? Notice what Christ says. It's my will that he remain until I come. What is that to you? And then again, this simple instruction. We see it a second time. And again, this is what the Gospel of John has been building up to. Christ says, you follow me. So the question, are you following Christ? Are you actually living for Christ? Do you actually believe the Gospel? So there are some implications here in this passage. And the first implication that we see is point number one on your outline, if you have that in front of you. To follow Christ is to give him everything. Christ made it clear to Peter, because you will follow me, you will lose your life. Not only will you just lose your life, it wasn't a simple, easy death. The same torturous death that Christ suffered for Peter, Peter would suffer later for Christ. Peter died in agony. He died in much suffering. Peter's life after Christ was not easy. It was full of sufferings and persecution. That's the same for all of the New Testament church. It was not easy for them. The road was difficult. And Christ spent time after time after time, moment after moment, preparing them for this one simple truth. If you are going to be my disciple, you must take up your cross and follow me. Friend, you cannot follow Christ without the cross on your shoulder. You cannot follow Christ unless you're willing to give him everything that you have. To follow Christ is to give him everything. Your next fill in the blank in your outline. We are not called to be Sunday morning Christians. Church family, I'm so glad that you're here this morning. But let me tell you this. Your church attendance on Sunday mornings means nothing for the state of your soul in eternity. Nowhere in Scripture are we told that Christianity is coming into a building once a week and staying for an hour. Nowhere do we find that. We are not called to be Sunday morning Christians, because a Sunday morning Christian is not a Christian. It's plain and simple. The reality that we're seeing in this passage is you either give Christ everything or you give him nothing. There's no in between. Are you following Christ? Now, I know it probably seems like a lot to ask. Give Christ everything you have, every aspect of your life. To follow Christ is to give over every single bit of yourself, every single bit of your life. To give him anything less is to simply not follow him and not believe in him. You might have the question now, why should I give Christ everything that I have? Well, luckily for us, John has prepared for this question. And in his gospel, he's devoted his gospel to revealing who Christ is and what he's done, explaining to us exactly why Christ deserves more from us than what we could ever give to him. Verse 25, John writes, now there are also many other things that Jesus did. Were every one of them to be written, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. John says there's so much more that he didn't write about. There's so much that's not included in his gospel. There's so many other stories that John could have included about who Christ was and what he did and what he came to do for us. Why did John include the ones that he included? Go back to chapter 20, verse 30. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples. This is starting out very similar to chapter 21, verse 25. Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. But friend, what you need to understand is those who believe in Christ give him everything. They don't hold anything back from Christ. They don't keep anything for themselves. It is Christ receives everything. That's what faith in Christ looks like. So why should we give everything to Christ? It's a is the last fill in the blank on point number one. We have received more from Christ than we could ever give to him. And the beautiful thing about the Gospel of John and the way that it's written is for 20 chapters, John has been leading us to chapter 21. And John has been showing us who Christ is and what Christ has done for us, what Christ has afforded for us through the grace of God. Friend, Christ has done more for you than you can even fathom. He's done so much more for you than you could ever do for him. He's given so much more for you than what you could ever give back to him. If you give Christ everything that you have, he still will have outgiven you by infinity. It's not even close. So why should we give Christ everything? Why should we take our faith in Christ seriously enough that it actually impacts the way that we live? Why should we start being selfless? Why should we be Christians on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and not just Sunday? Why should our faith actually be present in every moment of our lives? Look at number two on the outline if you have it. If you don't have a sermon outline, I'm going to warn you, we're going to go through all these. There are a lot of different things on number two. And this is the part that's probably a little bit scary. It's not nearly as bad as what it looks like. If you don't have an outline, you're probably going to get a little bit lost as we go through this. So I apologize for that. Let this be an advertisement for picking up the sermon outline next week. Number two, through Christ, we are. We're going to go through each one of these things that we are in Christ. We're going to look at what Christ has done for us and how John has laid this out for us throughout his gospel. Through Christ, we are sustained. John chapter 15, I have on the outline verses 1 through 16. Don't worry, we're not reading all of that. That's for you to read later. John chapter 15, verse 1, Christ says, I am the true vine. And what we remember from that passage is that Christ is the vine, and the word tells us that we are the branches. And when we're connected to the vine, we receive life. We receive the nutrients that we need. And as long as we're connected to Christ, we have everything that we could ever need and so much more. It is the true vine. It is Christ that sustains the believer for eternity. Turn the page back on John chapter 14. Verses 6 through 7, Jesus said to him, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. Through Christ, believer, we are restored. Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the only way that we can be restored into a relationship with God. It is through Christ alone that sin is forgiven. It is through Christ alone that we are justified before God. It is through Christ alone that you can be restored into a relationship with your Creator. Your restoration and your salvation is found only through Christ, because He is the way, the truth, and the life. Go back a couple more pages, chapter 11, verse 25. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live. Believer, through Christ we are sustained, restored, and through Christ we are alive in him, because he is the resurrection and the life, so that all who believe in him would not perish, but have eternal life. Christ came, believer, so that through your faith in him, you could have life. And you can have hope in every circumstance, in every situation. Christ is always the resurrection and the life. And you always have hope, because you will always have life in Christ. Believe me. John chapter 10, verses 11 through 14. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Friend, the good shepherd has laid down his life for you, so that through Christ, through the good shepherd, you are eternally protected. Christ gave his life to seal you and protect you for eternity, and no one can snatch you out of the hand of the good shepherd. He is protecting you if you believe in him. Through Christ, we are sustained, restored, alive, protected. Through Christ, we are secured. John chapter 10 again, verses 7 through 9. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. And watch what happens when you enter through the door, when you enter through Christ, through faith in Christ. He will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. You enter through the door. Your only options are to find pasture. Your only options are to be taken care of, to be protected, to be alive, restored, sustained. Christ, the door, makes that possible. It is Christ, the door, that secures salvation for his sheep, for all who believe in him. Friend, Christ came and gave his life on the cross so that you would be protected by him and secured in him. John chapter 8, verse 12. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Through Christ, we are illuminated because he is the light of the world that came to eradicate our darkness, to dispel our darkness. We are no longer slaves to our sin. We are no longer slaves to our old nature. We are new creatures in Christ Jesus because the light of the world has come down and he is shining and illuminating our lives so that we can walk in newness of life through Christ. But friend, it's only possible through Christ. John chapter 6, verse 35. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Friend, through Christ, we are satisfied eternally. Through Christ, you have everything that you will ever need. He who comes to me will never hunger, and he will never thirst, because Christ is the bread of life that has provided everything that we need. All that we would ever need can be found in Christ. He is the bread of life that satisfies believers. Friend, you don't need anything other than Christ. He is enough for you. John chapter 1, verse 29. You see what's happened here? We worked backwards all the way through the Gospel of John, and here we are in the first chapter, in verse 29, Christ is being introduced to the world. The next day, he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Through Christ, church, we are sustained. Through Christ, we are restored. Through Christ, we are alive. Through Christ, we're protected. We're secure. We're illuminated. We're satisfied. And friend, through Christ, we are redeemed. Because Christ is the Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world. And if you believe in him and you trust in him, then your sins are erased. They are washed clean by his blood, and you are redeemed. And when God looks at you, he doesn't see your sin. He doesn't see your shame. He doesn't see your guilt. He sees the righteousness, the life of Christ that's been laid down for you. Friend, you are redeemed through Christ and through Christ alone. John, through his entire gospel, we've been reading this for 11 months, and for 11 months, we've been being prepared for chapter 21. John has written this so that you may see exactly who Christ is. He's the true vine that sustains. He's the way, the truth, and the life that restores. He's the resurrection and the life that provides eternal life. He's the good shepherd that protects his sheep. He's the door of the sheep that secures their salvation for eternity. He's the light of the world that illuminates our hearts and lives and sets us free from sin. He's the bread of life that satisfies the believer every single day. And he is the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God who was slain on the cross. The perfect, spotless, blameless, pure, holy Lamb of God who laid down his life and took on the cross. This Lamb of God who was pierced for your transgressions, who was crushed for your iniquities. The Lamb of God who knew no sin but became sin for you so that your sin might be redeemed through him. This is Christ. This is what he's done for you. This is what we are in Christ. In Christ, we're sustained, restored, alive, protected, secure, illuminated, satisfied, and redeemed. And it is only through Christ alone. But jump back with me to John chapter 21. John ends his gospel focusing on two simple calls from Christ here. Follow me. Follow me. When we began this morning, I put a question out to you. Are you following Christ? We've seen clearly from this passage that following Christ is not simply coming to church on Sundays. Following Christ is giving every single part of yourself to Him. It's giving Him everything that you have. It cost Peter his life. It cost many in the early church their life. It cost every apostle except for John his life. And John probably wished that he was dead after the persecution they went through. Friend, if you call yourself a believer, how does your Christianity compare to the Christianity lived out by the apostles, lived out by the New Testament church? Let me ask you this. If I might be so bold, how does your Christianity compare to the Christians all over the world today? In places like Sudan and China, where Christians are openly killed and persecuted, how does your Christianity compare to their Christianity? Where they're giving Christ everything that they have every single day with the knowledge that any day they could die for their faith. How does your Christianity compare? Are you really following Christ? Look at point number 3 on the outline. And we're going to close in just a moment. It's very, very simple. This is what the Gospel of John has been working us toward for 11 months. It's this one simple call to follow Christ. So friend, I'm going to put this call out to you. Number 3 on your outline. Trust in Christ for salvation. He is more than enough for you. Are you following Christ? Will you follow Him today? Father, you are so good. Father, you are holy. Father, you are pure. How is it that a group of sinners could gather together and worship your name? Father, we don't deserve to be here. We don't deserve to read your word. We don't deserve to sing your praises. But Father, it is possible through Christ, because Christ gave everything that he had for us. Father, as we wrap up the Gospel of John, and we see this simple call to follow Christ, I pray that as we dwell on your word, you would use your word to cause us to see that to follow Christ is to give everything to the one who has given everything to us first. Father, I pray for those in our church that you would strengthen us and equip us to give you all that we have every day, to die to ourselves every day so that we can live for Christ. Help us to follow Christ the way that Scripture tells us we ought to. Father, I pray for anyone in this room who came in here today not following Christ, not trusting in Christ for salvation. I pray, Father, that as they have come to your word and have seen the simple call to follow Christ, that they would answer that call, that they would believe the gospel for salvation, that you would save them, Father. Lord, as we consider the end of this gospel that we've been studying for 11 months, help us to respond this morning to this oh so simple call to follow Christ. Pray this in Christ's name.